The gift you give to a king tells him how you value him. That is why Jesus said that it is only this widow who gave the best. Why? Because the gift was out of sacrifice.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
We're going to continue with our series of lessons on the subject of the 12 revelations for supernatural living. 12 revelations for supernatural living. And so far we have been dealing only with the first one. We've been talking about a revelation of prosperity in salvation. Prosperity in salvation. We have understood that prosperity means to do well. God wants his children to do well. And that prosperity, however, is not an addition to salvation. It is already covered in it. All right? The greatest thing that you have ever received that makes you prosperous is your salvation. It has nothing to do with cars. It has nothing to do with houses. And it's time for us to shift our thinking. Amen. In our last lesson, we understood that if God wants us to be prosperous, why do so many believers think they are not prosperous? It is primarily because of a misunderstanding of what prosperity is all about. Jesus told us to be prosperous is to always pursue two things. What are they? Let me see if you still remember. What are the two things you have to pursue? You must pursue the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Those two things. They are the only two things. Today, what I want to do is that we want to take time and pursue the concept of understanding kingdom prosperity, all right? Understanding it. So it is still on the revelation of prosperity in salvation, part 3, but we are looking purposely about understanding kingdom prosperity. Amen. Now, to fully understand prosperity, we must look at prosperity from a kingdom perspective and not from the perspective of a republic. To fully understand prosperity, we must understand the subject from a kingdom what? Come on, talk back to me. From a kingdom perspective and not from the perspective of a republic. America is a republic. The country in which I was born, Ghana, is a republic. A republic means we subscribe to the principles of democracy. All right? However, the Bible is about a king. Have you ever seen a king who doesn't have a kingdom? Have you seen one? And so sometimes we bring democratic principles and we put it in the Bible. When you do that, you will be making a mistake. Concepts are important because concepts define the context in which we say things. And today I want to walk you through a few things. Amen. Every country has a system of governance. Every country. And the kingdom of God also has governance, but it does not use democracy. People in Russia use communism. Some in Europe use socialism. America uses the concept of democracy. But whenever you are a Christian, you must understand that God uses kingdom concepts. Everybody say kingdom concepts. And I want you to learn this. The reason for which I ask the kids to stay is that you have been born in a democracy. And if you are not careful, you will keep interpreting the scriptures that way. Already the parents are doing it. And so the kids can't be any different. And I want us to go on a quest to begin to understand In fact, this year I began to study more and more, and I realized that Jesus never preached prosperity. He never did. Why? Because in the kingdom, prosperity is not even an issue to talk about. It's a democratic concept. Amen. Are you ready to go on the journey? All right. Let me give you some examples for you to underscore why this is important. In a republic, citizens have individual rights. My right. It's not fair. It's only said in a democracy. In a kingdom, we do not say things like that. In a republic, citizens have individual rights. But in a kingdom, the individual rights must be surrendered to the king. It must be surrendered to the king. It is so important. Individual rights such as civil liberties or civil rights. Your right to be free. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 32, he said, whom the Son sets free. No, not whom the Constitution of the United States sets free. Whom the Son, Jesus, sets free. Then the Bible says he is free what? Indeed. Your civil liberties are not in a democracy. It is in God's system of governance. It's called a kingdom. Everybody say the kingdom of God. We have political rights. In America, we vote. How many of you have seen a king who allowed voting? It tells you that we have been born and raised in a system that is contrary to the Bible. And if you are not careful, you will continue to subscribe to things in the system and bring them into the scriptures. And this is why Jesus said that you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Are you following me? The second thing I want you to notice about a republic is that in a republic, we own things. I own a car. I have a house. But in a kingdom, you are only a caretaker, a manager, or what is called a steward. So in a kingdom, we talk about stewardship. In democracy, we talk about ownership. I own this. I own that. I own that. I own that. Whenever you come into the kingdom of God, you don't own a thing, because you'll find out later. I'll come to it. The Bible says God owns everything. The day you were born and you were coming, what did you bring? And when you die and you are going, what would you take? And until those concepts sink and we fully understand it, we will operate that way. Let me give you another example. In a republic, people work for things. In God's kingdom, the king gives us things automatically when we pursue his kingdom and his righteousness. It is important you understand the concepts of a kingdom. Everybody say, it is important that I understand the concepts of a kingdom. How many of you believe that prayer is a religious act? See, your hands are all going up. No, prayer is not a religious act. When you look at it from a democracy standpoint, it is a religious act. Prayer, according to the kingdom, is a legal act. Don't we call prayer petition? Where are petitions used? In the legal system. So Jesus tells a story in the book of Luke chapter 18. He says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he continues and talks about a woman who kept going to a judge. He's talking about prayer, but now he shifts the argument and he talks about a woman who keeps going to a judge back and forth until the judge avenges her. And he, Jesus said, shall not your God avenge the righteous who comes to him day and night? What is he doing? He places prayer not in a religious system, but he places it as a legal act. And that is why if it's a legal act, you need an advocate. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost is your advocate. So the scripture says you don't know how to pray, but the Spirit of God himself will take your words. You must understand kingdom. If you are not careful, you keep looking at this in a democracy standpoint. Thou king of forces who your people have met, though. No, we go and say, Lord, according to the law books, this is my benefit. Healing is a part of it. He says it is the bread of the children. Are you guys following me? So it is important that we understand the concepts of the kingdom. Where are we going to learn this from? Number one, whenever you read the Bible, going forward, you must begin to look for kingdom concepts in the Bible. This week, what I did is that during your growth group, I gave you almost about 30 verses. They are all from things Jesus said. And you will notice, Jesus never used the word prosperity. He always talked about a kingdom. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like. Are you guys with me? So we're going to learn from the Bible. Secondly, we're going to learn from books on kingdoms. Thirdly, we're going to observe past and present kingdoms because we must learn some principles about kingdoms. Everybody say principles about kingdoms. All the young people who are in the building, raise your right hand and say this after me. I belong to a kingdom. Come on, say like you mean it. I belong to a kingdom, not a democracy. Are you ready to go on the journey with me today? So we're going to look at the concept or the principle of prosperity from a kingdom standpoint. In a democracy, we talk about warfare. In a kingdom, we don't. I know it's going to be difficult, but I intend to teach you truth. Amen. Based on my personal research, there are some concepts about kingdoms we must understand. I said there are some concepts about kingdoms we must what? Understand. Number one, that every kingdom has a king. Write it down. Number two, the king is always Lord. The word Lord means owner. In the Hebrew, it is the word Adonai, master, owner, Lord. In democracy, we talk about landlord. If God owns the whole earth, he is Lord. You can't come to church and still own yourself. If you want to walk with him, you must understand he owns you. Are you guys understanding me? The only reason we live the way we live is that, yeah, God is king, but he is not Ezemu, Lord King. I spoke Nigerian language. Lord King. If he's king, then he's also Lord. He owns you. Every kingdom has a territory or a domain. So we say kingdom, the domain of the king. Every kingdom does not only have a king, a lord, and a territory, but it has citizenship. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot be part. The same way we become part of a country, we are citizens by birth, you must be born also to become part of the kingdom of God. Are you understanding me today? So kingdoms have kings, has lords, has territories, has citizenship. It has a culture. You cannot copy the culture of a democratic system. No. Jesus said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come. Your will be done where? On earth. On earth. Whose will? Is it the will of the United States Senate? No. But the will of the Father. He says, usher in my culture on earth. Because we don't understand, we ask questions like, what is wrong with tattoo? Because in a democracy, tattoo means nothing. It's time to move away from this church thing. This year, I intend to unchurch you and kingdom you. Did you get my English? I will unchurch you and kingdom you. Come on, let's say that together. So the kingdom has a king, it has a lord, it has a territory, it has citizenship, it has a culture, but it also has laws. It has a constitution. It has keys. Democratic systems don't have keys. And please notice, I didn't say that the kingdom has an economy. It has a system of giving to the king. It's different. Are you ready to start today's lesson? I laid a groundwork for you to understand that this is so crucial. So anytime we talk about money and prosperity and doing well and coming to that understanding that God says, I am supposed to do well, you must say it in kingdom terms. You must say it in kingdom terms. So let's glean some few concepts that I have learned. I learned it from the Bible, and I will show you. Number one, in the kingdom, the king is the central figure of his kingdom. You can have land. In other words, there's their territory. You can have everything else. Without a king, there is no kingdom. So when we gather our church, it is not about a pastor. I don't care whether they are the most right or left reverend, top or bottom, whatever they think they are. Today, there are too many doctors in the church who are pastors, but we are still sick. The king is the central figure. Everybody say the king is the central figure. Everything in the kingdom revolves around the king. If you make a mistake that you are too important and you want to attract attention to yourself, your head will go off because it's not about you. Is about the king. Everybody say it's about the king. In the same way, in earthly kingdoms, it is about their kings. In our Christian work, it is about the King of Kings and Lord of what? Lords. In fact, most people we call landlords are not landlords because the stuff they claim they own don't belong to them. The second concept that I want you to look at is that the king owns everything, including the people. But that's not fair. The day you create a world and you make human beings, we will listen to you. The king is not the important component to the entire kingdom, but he owns everything and he also owns the people. God owns you. And me. And that thing needs to sink because it hasn't sunk. Sometimes we live our lives as if we own ourselves. So I intend to walk you through a few scriptures. Are you ready? The first one is in the book of Exodus chapter 19. Look there with me. I'll be reading mostly from the Christian Standard Bible. Look at verse 5. Now, if you will carefully listen to me, God is speaking to the people, and keep my commandment, you will be my own possession. If you will listen to me, you will be my own what? Possession. Out of all the people, although the whole earth. So if God owns everything, how much do you own? Zero. Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at the 14th verse. The heavens, indeed the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, and that's the earth and everything in it. Job chapter 41 and verse 11. Job kept asking God some questions because he thinks he was that nice and good. And listen to what God is telling him. Who confronted me that I should repay them? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I want you to leave this place with a mindset that you belong to God. Yes, you have your own shirt, but it does not belong to you. The scripture says in the book of Deuteronomy 8 and 18, he said, remember the Lord your God, for it is he, it is he, it is he, it is he who gives you power and the ability to make wealth. Psalms 24 verse 1, read, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. Does it include you?
So I don't care, please forgive me, whatever Putin thinks. When God stamps his foot, it's over. We pray that God will stamp his foot. The earth and everything in it, everything in it, the world and its what? Inhabitants. Haggai chapter 2, look at verse 8. Haggai chapter 3, let's go. The silver and the gold belong to me. I don't care what the feds think. Belong to them. It belongs to God. The silver and the gold belongs to me. This is the declaration of the Lord, the owner. 1 Corinthians, I know by now somebody, oh, Pastor, it's all Old Testament. Okay, let's go New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, please. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God? You are not. Remove you and put I. So let's say that together. Some people are afraid of saying, you are not your own. I am not my own. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And the scripture says, which you have of God, who gave you the body in the first place? Who did? Who? So, it is only people who live in the democracy mindset. I got a mansion. I got a jet. And I have this, and I have that. No, no, no. If you live in a kingdom, I said, I thank God that he has endowed me with some things. Your language is different. Your attitude is different. And we must come to that place. Are you hearing me? This is why sometimes at church you find some people praising God and other people are standing there looking at them. What are they fussing about? It doesn't take all of that. Because you think you own yourself. No, you don't. He owns everything. He says, you are not your own. I can go on and show you many, many scriptures. One last scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at verse 7. Please read with me. For we brought... Oh, are you afraid? Come on, let's say that together. For we brought nothing into the world. And we can take nothing. Have you seen any dead person take something out? Have you seen one? Truth is, you take nothing out. Nothing. Today, I want you to understand when we talk about prosperity, it begins with a mindset that God owns everything, including you. So in a republic, President Biden doesn't own everything. In fact, there are people in this country who are more richer than him. You agree? But in a kingdom, nobody is richer than the king. It never happens. And that is why God says, I own everything, including the people. So have it in your head. That going forward, you don't talk about what I have. You talk about the fact that, first of all, I got Jesus. And God will give me everything with Jesus. Pastor, I think you are trying to make the people lazy. No, I'm trying to correct your thinking. We will come to it next week. Because when God gives us things, he expects something from us. The scripture says he gave some 5 and some 2 and some 1. In other words, we are unequally gifted. When it comes to finances and other things, we are all not going to have the same thing. But God requires the same thing. So some people have 5. Some people have 2. Some people have 1. But he requires faithfulness across board. So the problem is not about how much they have. So if you do it the kingdom way, there is no need to jealous someone. You have to go ask the one who gave them all. Are you gaining some kingdom thinking? And let's begin to drop the democracy mindset. Because it's destroying many Christians. So number one, we said that the king is the central figure in his kingdom. Secondly, he owns everything, including the people. The third principle I want you to look at is that a king's wealth is to secure his reputation. The only reason God owns everything is so that his reputation will grow. What does it mean? He will give it out. So when God gives gifts, he lavishes on us. He gives it generously. Do you read the scriptures where the Bible says, and he gives what? Generously. Is it a democracy mindset? No. In democracy, people want to keep their stuff. Only kings lavish it on his people. So you see how sometimes we read the stuff and then we say, oh, God is king. Have you seen anybody walk in the presence of a king standing? Have you? What do? They bow. During worship, when somebody asks you to bow one, you are angry because you carry democracy mindset. You are so big, you feel good about yourself. It's okay to feel good, but feel good because Christ has saved you, not because you think you are all that, because you're not. A king's wealth is to secure his reputation. Every king wants to be known that he's magnanimous. He's able to give. He is so benevolent. And he can bless people. And the more they give, the more their reputation spreads. What did the queen of Sheba do when she came to Solomon? He said, child, I heard. But now that I am seeing the stuff, it is not even half. Your reputation is way beyond what I was told, because his wealth is playing a part. Now, I told you we'll learn from the Bible. So go with me to the book of Esther, and let me show you a few things, all right? In the book of Esther, we read about another king. Some people will call him King Ahasuerus. Some will say Ahasuerus, whichever way you want to call him. But let's learn from his kingdom. Not everything about every king reflects the king of heaven, but there are some things that are consistent, and I want to point that out. Now, if you read the book of Esther, chapter 1, read verse 1 to 4. Let's pick it up. It says, these events took place during the days of Ahasuerus, who ruled 127 provinces from India to Kush. Does it sound like he's a little king? 120 provinces from India to Kush. To Ethiopia. If you know the world's map and know where India is it close to Africa? So if the guy ruled from here to there, then his kingdom is not simple. It was huge. In those days, King Ahasuerus reigned from his royal throne in the fortress at Susa. Verse 3, he held a feast in the third year of his reign for all his officials and staff and army of Persia and Media, the nobles and the officials from the provinces. Verse 4, please reread me. Why did he do this? Ready? Read. He displayed the glorious wealth of his kingdom and the magnificent splendor of his greatness for a total of 180 days. He was just showing off his wealth. It was about his reputation. He wanted people to know. A king's reputation is tied to his ability to take care of his citizens. And that ability is directly related to his wealth. The more wealth he has, the well that he can take care of his citizens. So if God owns all things, it means he can take very good care.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.